call the March 4th Plan Commission meeting order. Mr. Eddy, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Commissioner Hogan?
Here.
Commissioner Burkhardt is excused. Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Engineer Morrow?
Here.
Alderman D'Andrea?
Here.
Commissioner Leon?
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise to join the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Because we have a commissioner on the phone and we call for votes, voice vote, we will count Kevin's vote as an aye, even though it'll come when I ask for nays. And if he wants to say nay, he will say nay. So, okay, having that, move on to approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of February 18th. Any additions or corrections?
Move to pass.
Second.
Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is a public hearing on Oakwood Industrial Proposed Buildings 1 and 2. This is a natural resources feature special exception public hearing and a special use. Ms. X. Mr. Eddy.
Do you want me to read?
Mr. Pine. Yeah. Yeah. Do the NRPP first.
One and then both? One open and then both? Okay. Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, March 4, 2021 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at the City Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application from WP Property Acquisitions, LLC for a special exception to natural resources feature provisions for property located at 3617 West Oakwood Road, Zone Plan Development District Number 39, Mixed Use Business Park, which bears tax key number 950-9997-002. The requested special exception to natural resource feature provisions is for the purpose of impacting one of the three wetlands on the property, 2.167 acres, specifically grading and filling 0.23 acres, or 9,784 square feet of wetland, 0.6 acres, 26,132 square feet of wetland buffer and 0.79 acres or 34,466 square feet of wetland setback. And the development will also remove 39% of young woodland on the site. City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance permits impacts up to 50% without requiring an exception to construct a 200,000 square foot office warehouse facility and a 300,000 square foot office warehouse facility in the second phase. This public hearing is being held pursuant to the requirements of Section 15-9.0110, applications for a special exception to natural resource feature provisions, and Section 15-10.0208, special exceptions to natural resource feature provisions of the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance. The public is invited to attend the public hearing and to provide input.
And that's the announcement for the Natural Resources Protection Plan, special exception. Now for the special use. I'll hereby open that public hearing. Now for the special use.
No. Separately.
We've already done them together. Okay. The applicant has asked that we continue this hearing to the April 8th meeting.
Does anybody wish to speak?
I was about to do that. So is there anyone in the audience wishing to speak on the natural resources special exception?
Public hearing is
good. For the... I said that. Is there anyone here wishing to speak?
I don't know that you did.
The public hearing for this matter is now open. Begin. Anyone wishing to speak? Okay, we're going to continue this. Is there a motion, Alderman D'Andrea?
On the special exception, a motion to postpone and continue the subject matter and public hearing to the April 8th, 2021 Plan Commission meeting.
Mr. Rick, moved and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Okay. Aye.
Any opposed? Let's try it again. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. On the special And a special use application, Mr. Planning Manager.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, March 4, 2021 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding the application from WP Property Acquisitions, LLC, for a special use to permit overnight parking for vehicles exceeding 8,000 pounds manufactured gross vehicle weight, which requires special use approval per Section 15-3.0444BD 1A3, design standards, addendum to ordinance number 2016-2238 of the Unified Development Ordinance, as part of the development of two industrial buildings, approximately 500,000 square foot in area. Tenants have yet to be identified. Property located at 3617 West Oakwood Road, Zone Plan Development District number 39, Mixed Use Business Park. Property which is the subject of the application bears tax key number 950-9997-002. This public hearing is being held pursuant to the requirements and standards of Section 15-3.0701, General Standards for Special Uses, 15-3.0703, Detailed Standards for Special Uses in Non-Residential Districts, and 15-9.0103, Applications for Special Use Permit of the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance. Copy of the proposed special use resolution is in draft form, is available and open for inspection by the public in the office of the city clerk at Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, during normal business hours. The public is invited to attend the hearing to provide input. Proposed draft form resolution is subject to revisions following public hearings and the further consideration by the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin Common Council.
It appears we have properly noticed public hearing. I'll open the public hearing on the special use application. Is there anyone wishing to speak on this matter? Seeing no one rise, Alderman Dandridge.
I'd like to make a motion on the special use, a motion to postpone and continue the subject matter and public hearing to the April 8th, 2021 Plan Commission meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to business matters. Pleasant View Reserve Residential Subdivision Development. This is a preliminary plat application. Mr. Planning Manager. Ms. X.
Thank you, Mayor. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yep.
Thank you. So this is an application for a preliminary plat by the name of Pleasant View Reserve, which is located at approximately the intersection of South 49th Street and Marquette Avenue. It is the consolidation of two previously proposed preliminary plats, which were reviewed and received approval from the Common Council, subject to a number of conditions. So this plat is intended to supersede those because it's unifying the two, and there are some relevant design changes. The proposed plat is for a 53-lot single-family residential lots and two outlots, which will be platted and completed in two phases. The outlots on the northern portion contain stormwater. On the southern portion, they contain natural resource features and stormwater as well. So I'm trying to remember what order I wanted to talk about this in. So the northern portion also includes the improvement of South 50th Street and the improvement of Marquette Avenue between 51st Street, continuing to the east past 49th Street. There's also two cul-de-sacs with a number of residential lots and homes to be constructed on 51st Street. The southern portion also contains a trail. This is intended to connect to the neighborhood park that's nearby, Pleasant View Neighborhood Park. And so it will go past the stormwater pond and will traverse a portion of wetland, which is in that outlot area. And so this outlot is mostly natural resource features. Those natural resource impacts will require a natural resource special exception. Because this is a privately developed trail, it won't qualify for the city's option to do this as a under a resolution that was previously adopted that allows for public improvements to be done with less mitigation. It will require a natural resource special exception. So all of the lots comply with the R6 standards for minimum lot size and setbacks. There are additional pedestrian amenities, including a sidewalk segment on the eastern side of South 50th Street. So that proposed sidewalk at lot 13, it must connect to the north. It is shown as being stubbed out a little bit short of the property line, and we're requesting that it be improved all the way to the property line. And then the trail, which is in the southern portion, so there'll be a 20-foot, it's essentially part of the outlot with the trail connecting out of 49th Court. The stormwater and engineering approvals are under review at this time. Engineering had two additional comments, which came back with the plan commission materials. So one comment, which I didn't have the opportunity to run by the city attorney, but that they are proposing a revision to condition number 13 to broaden the scope of it to include the state statute, as well as the UDO standards for engineering, so that they can then address any technical corrections required. So this is one suggestion from the engineering department, and the other...
I think that's a tad overbroad.
Okay. It's currently limited to our UDO, so...
Conditions should be more specific than you have to comply with Wisconsin statutes. Yeah, I know.
Yep. It specifies the section. This is generally so that they can have the resolution back up the compliance standards that they're going to be enforcing. So if it's too overbroad, then...
What if... in the entirety of Chapter 236, I dare say there are some competing provisions. If you are doing this, you can may do this, this, or this, but otherwise this, you know. I don't know that it's a problem, but just, I don't know. I don't recall seeing that as a requirement in plat approvals previously.
Right. Sorry, Glenn.
I'm not sure the emphasis of this. I heard it today, and it didn't occur to me that it was too broad, so it didn't alert me. So I'm not prepared to answer that. I'm not sure what the intent was.
We can review it prior to any further...
For the Common Council action?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll ask staff to contact you tomorrow and we can discuss.
Ms. Fix, is
that it? Sure. Thank you, City Attorney. Thank you, Mayor. And then the other comment that engineering had was that they have a concern about the lot depth for some of the lots along Marquette Avenue. So they'd like to add a condition that we just verify that the lot depth meets the standards of the UDO, which is 110 feet. Depending on which way that the lots are oriented, they may not comply. So based on the setback envelope that's shown, it's likely that all of them do comply except for lot two, which there is already a condition about. However, they wanted to require a verification of that. So there might be information that they would ask to add to the final plat. And just wanted to draw it to the commission's attention. So, and then there is also the matter of Marquette Avenue, which I know has been reviewed and discussed at length by the commission and the Common Council. And this road is an important connection between 51st Street and Pleasant View School. It is part of the proposed preliminary and final, the preliminary plat that's here. Today, Alderwoman Wilhelm did bring to our attention some concerns about trees in the area. And so because there is this line of trees immediately to the north of the current Marquette Avenue that could be impacted by the construction of the road, the previous plat for Pleasant View included some additional right-of-way dedication. And that discussion is open today. So the proposed plat meets the standards of the UDO, but we do, of course, value natural resources in the city of Franklin. So,
Mr. City Engineer.
So, for the record, we the city, are working on Marquette Avenue. This is a city project from 49th to 51st. It looks like it's incorporated in this set of plans because it's much easier to go through permitting as opposed to having three separate projects show up together. So they're it's easier for them and easier for us, easier for everyone just to submit this through at one shot. So that's what's going on there. As far as 50th Street going up to Minnesota, just so everyone knows, we are planning to do that as a city project. It has always been planned to be done as a city project. And then previous discussions with the previous developers were that we were going to improve the north side of Marquette from 49th to the school. And the intention was is really just widened enough for the curb and gutter and straighten up the edge, if you will. So there's not a significant increase in road construction. And the south side was intended to be the developer working on that. They clean up the south side, we clean up the north side.
That's, I'm happy to answer any questions, and the applicant is also here, Mr. Cudney, so.
Marion, can you just, the commission's seen this several times and passed it before. Can you outline for us specifically the differences between the last one, the last proposal, and this one?
There's a difference in the outlots, and there is also some changes to the design because of the elimination of some wetlands in the northern phase. So the previous developments, and there were two, so they were separate projects, had four total outlots. This northern part has two wetland areas in it that meet the standards of the DNR and the Army Corps of Engineers to be exempt from their enforcement. And there is the state law that prevents us from also enforcing on those. So there was previously a natural resource special exception for them that cannot be enforced under the new state law. So the location of the outlot has changed here, and to some extent the location and design of the outlot on the southern portion. The trail is roughly as was proposed, the sidewalk amenities, et cetera. There's also additional lots that were because of another wetland that no longer exists. there were some additional lots in this upper left-hand portion of the plat. So, and Mr. Cudney might identify some things that I missed. So,
I think you did a pretty good job of it with consolidating some of
Matt,
the
name and address, oh, please.
Matt Cudney with Viridian Homes. With some of the consolidation of the stormwater into one project, we were able to pick up some efficiencies, which allowed us to reduce some of the area that was going to be used for stormwater, which partially allowed the pickup of an additional lot. But everything else that Marion explained, I think, is pretty accurate in terms of what happened with this particular plat. I did have a couple of questions on a couple of the different conditions, if you wanted to go there, or if I can answer other questions.
Well, let's
as well.
Do that in a minute. Lot one access is off 51st Street. Lot two is access off of Marquette, correct?
Correct. And we initially had it off of 51st Street, so we reconfigure that to make sure it is off of Marquette.
Now, if the lot doesn't meet the appropriate depth for coming off Marquette, do they have access from 51st Street? Because there is a no access portion here. It doesn't say exactly on the drawing how far no access, what that really means. But.
Mary, what were the lot numbers that Ronnie had a concern with? Is that one of them?
Lot two.
Yeah.
Lot two is one. So it depends. Well, it depends on, as I understand it, it depends on how the house is oriented.
See, this says no access right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's the measurement for the width right here. So it does not define what that no access means. If it just means the area where the words are, then if they needed to reorient the lot, they can have a driveway here, is what I'm thinking. Now, but I don't know that that's true or not.
I believe that line extends for the length of the lot on that side. So it's hard to see, but there is a dashed line. I don't know if I can zoom in.
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. Yeah. I see it. So that lot has to be off of Marquette.
Mm-hmm. And the UDO does recommend that the driveways be, and then therefore the front of the house, be off of the lower traffic volume street. So, you know, if you're doing a declining order, it would be 51st Street, Marquette Avenue, and then the minor streets. So.
And that's 105, what is the UDO required to be?
The lot depth, 110 feet.
So he needs 5 feet, that would make the, if they, if Matt, you took the lot one and skinnied that up, right, that'd make it an 85-foot lot. Does that meet the UDO?
Yeah,
minimum lot width is 90 feet.
90 feet.
So you lose a lot.
And you maybe can take some space from the outlot.
Yeah, I think we figure out a way to make it work in there. I mean, I think you can push up, you can push that a little bit forward with the
push the stormwater.
Oh, I see. Okay. Questions from the commission? Mr. Haley?
I'm fine.
Alderman Dandridge.
Mr. Cudney, you know, with all the work that's going to be happening on Marquette, do you see your project impeding that or vice versa?
No, and we've had some conversations with city engineer in terms of trying to make sure that it is as seamless as possible. Talking with the contractor that the city has awarded the contract to for Marquette Avenue, we are in negotiations with them for them to do the work on our project as well. Just makes it a lot easier for everybody that way.
Sure. So but 50th and 49th, or you would be doing 50th. That's right in the middle of your subdivision, right?
Correct.
And 49th is on the far eastern side. Are you involved in 49th, or is the city involved in 49th? Going north.
We're not doing anything on 49th. We're only doing the intersection of Marquette and 49th.
Okay.
The extension of some utilities, I think, is about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sewer.
Right.
Okay. And so, Mr. City Attorney, do we have appropriations then for the project on 50th, or will that be postponed to the following year because this is in phase two? That's
not under the purview of the attorney's office.
He's looking at appropriately the city engineer who can answer that.
Oh, city engineer.
Sounds like a legal question.
Yeah.
We are still working through, and you may recall we had a discussion that we bid this out. When we did, we understood that they still didn't have permits or some other issues going on. So we anticipate a change order. We have to let the dust settle on where that is with this. If it's at all possible, we're going to include this as a change order. I'd like to include this as a change order. The decision obviously is at common council to include the Minnesota 50th Street extension. Worst case scenario, we pull it off of this year's construction and do it for next year. I've talked to the developer and that seems to work with his schedule. So it's gonna happen.
Okay. And this, our recommendation here, is a recommendation solely to move it to common council with a vote, either in favor or against, correct?
Yes, so, yes. The common council can approve, deny, conditionally approve, so you're a recommending body, and if there are proposed conditions at this level, that would be appropriate.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Cudney, you had some things?
Yeah, on condition number 9, in terms of what was included in the conservation easement, in our previous development and also on the lots that are just adjacent to it on the south on West Evergreen Street by the Pleasant View Neighborhood Park, the wetland buffers were included in the conservation easement, but the wetland setbacks were not included in the conservation easement. And that's consistent with what was done on those lots that I said before and also within Aspen Woods. So I understand that the conservation easement should be separate, should be over the wetland buffer, but not over the wetland setback. And then on On 17, this is kind of addressing a little bit on the on Marquette between 49th and the school. And we've had some conversations about this in the past, and I know the concern there is to try and make sure that as many of those trees on the north of the street are maintained. The way that I was talking with our engineer today, the assumption is there will be no sidewalk on the north side of the street, and the way that the road is coming in, we feel like we are able to get that road in with very minimal impacts to any of the trees on the north side of the street without having additional right-of-way taken on the south. In addition, if you do try and shift the road down, I know that previously they had, in the previous approval had 6 feet. If you have a 6-foot shift, that shift is going to be difficult to bring that road to the intersection at 49th and Marquette. So you're kind of putting a jog into that road before you can come back up to the intersection. So you already have kind of a weird curve from Marquette getting close to the school there, and then you'd have another jog at the end. So we will do everything that we can in terms of working with the city in terms of the design, but I think the work that we can do, we can keep out of that tree line and still provide the street lineup as it is without having the additional right away.
Mr. City Engineer, then Commissioner Leon.
So I did notice if you look on the plat, they have the existing road and what he's proposing now. What's being proposed now is less of an abrupt change. It's more of a gradual change. So I'm sure the way it was, it didn't meet any of our curvature standards, but it's better now. So this is an improvement over what's out there now. And they show the sidewalk matching. Probably have to work with the school because the sidewalk actually has to get on their property to make that match. But that's a discussion with the school.
Yeah, I don't think the school will have a problem.
Commissioner Leo.
Just some clarity, and maybe I misheard you, Mr. Cudney, when you talked about sidewalk on the north side. I think right now the sidewalk, as far as it extends to the school, and it's not very far, is on the south side. So I don't know why there would be a sidewalk on the north side. So clarify.
The reason is because right now the plans for Marquette show a sidewalk on the north side of the street from 51st Street to 49th. And so this is that last little piece, 49th, then towards the school, where there would not be sidewalk. So I just wanted to make that clarification because there is sidewalk on the north side of the street in the current plans for Marquette Avenue.
I'm sorry.
Engineer.
So if you're a kid walking to school, which is why we're doing it for the kids, mm-hmm. and you're walking south on 51st Street or north on 51st Street, you can walk on whatever side of the Marquette. And if you're on the north side, you wouldn't have to cross until you got all the way to 49th Street. So the Marquette that we're building would have a sidewalk or a pathway, technically a pathway on one side, on both sides of the street.
Yeah, you can show on that map there. It makes it a little easier to understand. All the way to 49th.
So when you come up Marquette, if you're walking from the north and you, or from the south, you would be able to walk all the way across.
Right. I understand that. The part that's confusing to me is about the north. So you're saying
you have to cross right here and then continue south.
So just make sure I understand. If you're coming from the north, traveling south, that allows you to turn left, heading east, stay on the sidewalk all the way to 49th Street, cross there, and go over.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
Since we're talking about sidewalks, I recall reading in here, sidewalks in the cul-de-sacs are not required. Okay. I guess
they have.
Correct. In the bulb of the cul-de-sac, it's not required, but on the street itself, it is.
So this part in here would, but not in this part?
Okay. How do you end those?
At the end of the lot, I suppose.
And whose requirement is that?
It's in the UDO. So I did have a brief discussion with the deputy city engineer about this, and that is something that we don't have a recommendation on at this time.
I do. It's ridiculous.
It's
really important on the second call was there.
Alderman Wilhelm.
We do show the sidewalk on the second cul-de-sac because it does connect to the trail. So there is a sidewalk in
that's
the,
a different
the second cul-de-sac for that connection.
Okay. All right. What else you got, Mr. Craig?
Could I have one question? There is no sidewalk on 50th then. I don't see. No. The court.
Right. It's not shown on it currently, but that's one of the issues.
Conditions.
We're talking about now.
Okay.
We don't think it needs to be in. That's why we didn't put it in. But it's listed here as a condition to put in.
Yeah.
I guess with the way we read the UDO, I think we had a different interpretation of it. And I think depending on how you read the UDO, you could have a different interpretation of it as well.
Anybody else? Alderman Zander?
No.
Oh.
Yes, I did. Okay.
We do have an issue with condition 13 and wording change on 9. Ms. Hackett, before we do this.
Yeah, so with condition 9, Mr. Cudney is correct that the setback requirement for conservation easement, so it's not required, but we generally do recommend it because it makes it clear on the face of the plat where people can put things. So it's a piece of useful information for homeowners so that they don't come to me and say, why can't I put this here when we're telling them you have to be outside of the setback for the wetland. So it's a point of clarifying information. I think there may be a reason not to include it from the developer's point of view, but from a local enforcement point of view, we know that homeowners get confused by the requirement if it's not shown clearly somewhere.
It's typically already within a building setback line because it's not that far into the lot. That's how it is in Aspen Woods. So you have your building setbacks from your rear and side, and that the setback area of the wetland is contained within that. So there's no, there'd be no chance of any building in it in any way. And that's what the that's what it is. It's a building setback. It's not anything else in there.
The difficulty is with accessible structures. So we do allow theoretically for people to place small accessory structures, fences, et cetera, like right on the property line in certain cases. So this is just a clarifying piece of information.
Yeah, our CCRs do not allow accessory structures. We do allow fences, but we do not allow accessory structures. And if we need to keep fences out of the wetland buffer or the wetland setback area, we could make sure we incorporate that into our CCRs as well.
I'd be comfortable with that.
Alderman Dandry, then I need to clarify that.
I do just have a question regarding, we've required in other subdivisions that they mark these areas either with a boulder or a sign, primarily because people are going to continue to encroach. And once the developer is out of there, who's going to police it? The city is not going to police it. Okay, and that's why we have that requirement in there. Okay, so sometimes they do need that visual marking.
Yeah, but the conservation easement isn't a visual marking for it.
No, but a boulder or sign that this is a conservation area.
More than happy to do that. I can tell you.
You did that in Aspen Woods.
I think you did.
In my experience, oftentimes people, when after they move in, they will remove the sign of the boulder.
Correct.
So we can. I'm more than happy if you want us to put some signage up that say that this is whatever. But
I'd prefer that we follow that one. It's an inexpensive panacea to at least let the city know that, hey,
absolutely,
we're doing this. What the homeowner does.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Thanks.
So, Ms. X, you want to clarify our
just
nine?
One additional piece of information about how that information would be used by city staff when the Inspection Services Department is reviewing designs that they review. Having it marked out with surveyor's information makes it readily available to them so they know exactly where the information is, as opposed to having to refer to something, a separate document.
That'll be on their survey?
It would, if it's on the recorded plat.
Right. It'll be in their title.
It should all be available. That is a public document that I can then send them and say, here's the setback.
And I read my title every night.
Well, yeah, but.
Okay. So I'm saying is this is once the deal is done, this stuff's out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. Okay.
So it sounds to me like we're leaving 9 alone. Then we've got the issue of the additional language from engineering.
You were going to keep the conservation easement over the setback as well? Because I thought the discussion was that we wouldn't put it on there. We would put some sort of signage on the lot itself rather than have some sort of conservation easement on the setback.
Ms. X?
It's, again, it's not a requirement of the UDO, but it is the department's recommendation.
To put it on?
To have or the conservation include the setback.
It's inconsistent with how we've enforced it in the past.
Well, that's not unusual.
Yeah.
And what would this? What
is the harm in putting it on? What is the the restriction on you?
It's a more difficult for the like you talked about trying to explain it to somebody why they have a conservation easement on their lot. Because then they're all sort of then that's confusing for them in terms of what they can and cannot do. And depending on, and I'm not sure exactly, I don't remember the language of what the conservation easement, it says what they can and cannot do, but it may impact some of the things that they may or may not be able to do, depending on, and I can't remember the language of what is allowed to be done in a conservation easement.
Well, that's exactly the problem we have, is people move their sheds in there, and they put up fences, and do all kinds of stuff in there, and we don't have any documentation to say, no, you can't.
No, I mean, like I said, in our CCRs, you can't put any buildings there. The issue, though, really is, depending on what the language is, does it say that you can't do anything in there? Does it say that they have to leave it natural? It goes beyond what you could typically do with a portion of your yard if it was not considered, because it's part of the setback. It's not the buffer, and we want to protect the wetland with a buffer. But I also think that, you know, people would like to have that area be part of their yard, and that's how we've done it in Aspen Woods. It's still part of their yard, I don't remember what the requirements are in the conservation easement. So I guess that's my concern.
And the person that can answer that is Ms. X.
Unfortunately, I don't remember exactly what is in the conservation easement either, but the restrictions on wetland buffers, which is the area that's under discussion, or the wetland setback, rather, continue to mess up.
Alderwoman.
It's no build. Correct. So it is possible to make changes to the grading, but you still would not be able to erect structures.
So you can plant normal grass there. The homeowner is going to mow it and maintain it, correct? I mean, okay, but they won't go any further. They'll be able to utilize the buffer, but they won't go any further than a point.
They can utilize the setback, but not
setback.
The buffer.
Okay, the setback, but not the buffer.
You got someone in the
so way. Then are you going to have a marker at the indicating the buffer line then? Is there going to be something?
If that's something that you're, for the buffer, typically we don't.
Okay. Well, how is the homeowner going to know when they can and when they can't?
Well, I mean, typically because the buffer is not going to be included in their lot, we make sure that the buffer itself is included in an outlot. So, because the buffer itself is really the very important part to make sure that that wetland is not degraded. So, what we typically do is when we develop the lot itself, we go up to what the lot line is, and that's typically where the buffer is. And there's usually a little bit of a, not exactly, the buffer is further back, so we do leave an additional, like a strip of land, so that we make sure that the buffer is not impacted at all.
So
that makes sense.
But it'll be grass.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
So to the naive homeowner, they're going to see it as grass is grass. Right? So.
To their lot, right, to their lot line.
But the grass on the other side of the lot line is also grass, right?
No. Because
no?
It'll be different. It's not going to be. The difference is if your lawn and then the natural grasses.
Natural grasses, which will be taller.
Taller and different type as well.
Okay. Okay. As long as there's a strong variation that people will know. Otherwise. That's the only thing is.
Absolutely. I understand your point exactly.
Okay.
Mr. City Attorney.
How about if it doesn't already, in the generally standard form, of the conservation easement. We'll just redraft it if it's not already in there, and describe exactly what the setback is and what can and cannot be done in that area.
Fair.
Yeah, and that's, if I remembered, or if we, anybody could talk to, but specifically what is included right now in the conservation easement, it'd be probably easy to resolve right now.
Well, I know it's been around for almost 18 years now, and those are just speed. Staff does them, and when I ever see one, I just do the boom, boom, boom for the 3 points up here and then 6 points down there, and that's it.
Understood completely. The only reason why for it's an issue for me is because I'm trying to remember what we did at Aspen Woods. And what we did at Aspen Woods is the
so
that's why we didn't pay attention to the details of it.
How about staff will just review it with developer?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Or we make it what Aspen Woods is.
Yeah. Kevin Haley?
Mr. Haley. Commissioner Haley.
We're still talking on point number 9, correct?
Yep.
Okay, I would just add from the historic perspective of being on the Plan Commission for a long time, this condition is usually there because what we're trying to do is help protect the city from 10 years down the line when that structure is already built there. And the people go, I don't know. I didn't know. How was I supposed to know? All that we've historically done this so that it makes it very clear to anyone that they have these restrictions on their land. I understand your concerns, but this is something about making the business of the city of Franklin work better when we run into conflicts on down the line.
Yep. So the answer to this one is it stays in, but staff works with the applicant, make sure that the language is the way it should be, because this condition references no language. Now we got condition 13. Are you hung up on your language? The state, reference to the state?
What the?
You're talking about the state
236 language.
Yeah, we'll clear that up before county council.
Okay, we'll recommend without that language and we can insert it at the council. Commissioner Leone.
I'm okay.
Alderman Dendry.
Okay.
So everything stays.
Yeah. In regards to the preliminary plat, a motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a preliminary plat for Pleasant View Reserve subdivision at 7475 South 49th Street and 7501 South 49th Street.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion of the motion. Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We're adjourned.